do, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're continuing our study in the Ten Commandments. They are really God's laws for living. And one of the things that I'm going to, as I sum up this at the end of, with the Ten Commandments, I want to be able to give you the positive results. And in fact, I've already titled it called the Ten Positive Principles for Proper Practice. And try to say that four or five times real fast. Ten Practical Principles for Proper Practice. And that'll be the summation right at the end of our study here in the Ten Commandments. So we come today to the eighth commandment, and it's very simple, only four words. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Now, for the most part, when we think about this command, we're thinking about burglarizing somebody's home or stealing a car or taking something or shoplifting. You know, you can, that kind of thing goes on and on. But this command is one that we, I think most of us think, well, I don't steal. I really don't. I'm not a thief. I don't do any of that stuff. What if stealing is not just about the blatant thievery, but little actions, things we're tempted to get away with? What if stealing included things like taking advantage of other people, bending the rules, borrowing without returning, even saying one thing and doing another? Wonder, with that in mind, how many of us can say that we don't steal? I think we all do. Because, quite frankly, if you've broken the prior seven commandments, you've automatically broken the eighth commandment. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you've stolen from God the honor that's due to him alone. The second commandment, you've stolen from God the worship that's due to him alone. In the third commandment, you've stolen from God the dignity that is his alone. The fourth commandment, you've stolen from God the day that belongs to him alone. In the fifth commandment, you've stolen from your parents the respect that God demands of them. The sixth commandment, you've stolen someone's life or another person's reputation. And if you broke the seventh commandment, you have stolen another person's mate or their sexual purity. So you see how this commandment really wraps up the first eight. It's one of the most important commandments that God ever gave to the family. And remember now, we're talking about the nation of Israel, and that was a family. It was a family back then. It grew and it grew and it grew, but where did it all come from? Class, who was the father of that family? Father Abraham had many sons. Remember that? You guys don't remember that from Sunday school? All right, yes. So, thou shalt not steal. In fact, the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth commandments are very similar. The sixth commandment safeguards life. Thou shalt not murder. The seventh commandment safeguards marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth safeguards property. Thou shalt not steal. You don't have to crack a safe or pick a pocket or hold a bank up to be a thief. You really don't. The problem in our culture and our attitude towards stealing has greatly changed. I read about a school teacher who asked her class this question one time. Listen, you find a suitcase and in it is $1 million. What would you do with it? And one of the little boys said, oh, I got this one. I said, yeah, Johnny? Well, if it was a poor person's satchel, I'd give it back to him. If it wasn't, I'd keep it. What? Have you ever... Let's get personal. Have you ever found money and didn't know what to do with it? Nobody? You mean I'm the only person that's ever found money and didn't know what to do with it? I mean, I knew what I wanted to do with it, but was it the right thing to do? Some people have said, well, suppose you go to a grocery store and you pay and they give you the change. And as you're walking out the door, you count your change. Number one, count your change before you walk out the door. Okay, number two. So you walk out the door and you count your change. And wait a minute. That lady gave me $20 too much. What's your reaction? Oh, happy day. Hey, I got $20. Mm-hmm. That ought not to be the way we do it. We ought to turn around, walk right back in there, and hand that $20 right back to that lady and say, "Ma'am, you gave me too much money." See, because if you do it the other way, I don't know any other way than to say this. That's stealing. That's stealing. One of the greatest lessons that parents will ever teach their children is how to live honestly and with integrity. And that's what this command says in four short words: thou shalt not steal. And it really gives us three great life lessons. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. Number one is this: respect what God has given to others. Respect what God has given to others. If you really think about it, there are only three ways that you can get anything, any kind of property, anything that you have. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul put it this way: "He who steals must no longer steal, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need." So whatever you have, you either have it by stealing it, by working for it, or by receiving it as a gift from somebody else. That's the only three ways you can have stuff. And anything that you have not earned or received as a gift or an inheritance, you've stolen. Anything that you have not earned or received or have been given as a gift or an inheritance, you've stolen. And that makes us thieves. Now, we all know the obvious meaning of this commandment: taking something that doesn't belong to you. That's stealing. And it doesn't matter whether it's by gunpoint in the daytime or breaking through somebody's window in the middle of the night, whether it's a piece of candy or a piece of jewelry, whether it's a dime or whether it's a dollar. Doesn't matter if the person you're taking it from is rich. Doesn't matter. It's stealing, and God condemns it. Because God sees every act that takes place. Why is it people think that they can do things and get away with it? God sees everything, folks. Nothing passes away from him. A thief will break into a house after dark. A robber will put a mask over his face and go into a bank. A little boy will make sure nobody's watching before he sticks a candy in his pocket while he's at the store with his mom. But God knows it, because God sees everything. Listen to Job 34. "God carefully watches the goings-on of mankind. He sees them all. No darkness is thick enough to hide evil men from his eyes." No one. Now, we hear about theft all the time in our lifetime, don't we? Listen to Amos 8:5. Tell me if this is not today. "They overcharge, they use false measures, and they fix the scales to cheat the customers." Hello? That must have been written yesterday, right? I mean, a repairman will tell you that something needs fixing when it really doesn't need fixing. A doctor will say you need to undergo some kind of procedure when you really don't need to undergo that kind of procedure. Really isn't necessary. But listen, folks, God sees, God knows, and God watches. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." He watches everybody. You can't steal anything that God hasn't taken note of. So the bottom line is, we need to respect what God has given to others and what rightfully belongs to other people. We need to respect that. Number two, we need to release what God wants you to give to him. There are three things that God has entrusted with us and that he expects us to use for him. And the first one's your talent, your gifts. Everybody in this room has a talent. Everyone in this room has a gift. It is a tailored gift by the God of creation. He gave it to us. He molded it for us specifically. I have a gift that you don't have. You have a gift that I don't have. And that's wonderful. That's what makes us a family. That's what makes it cohesive. That's why we need one another all the time. And we have a responsibility to use those gifts and those abilities for the glory of God. If you can sing, we're going to give you a chance here at ECBC. See over there? There are going to be some chairs over here for the choir. Boy, y'all look at me like a bunch of hoot owls here. There's going to be chairs over here for the choir. There's going to be a little instrumental group over here. We're going to call a praise and worship band. You say, uh-oh, pastor's getting charismatic on us. Watch out. No, I'm just saying that's all what the scripture says. You know, we have people who will tell you, oh, you can't have instruments in church. You can't do this. You can't clap in church. Well, what's Psalm 47:1 say? Clap your hands unto the Lord. Isn't that what it says? You can look it up when you go home. It really does say that. Praise God with the tambourine. Oh, no, Pastor, we can't have a tambourine, do we? We can't have a tambourine. Praise God in the tambourine. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drums. So don't get hung up on any of those things. If you have a gift, God expects you to use it. You know, sitting around on your hands not using your gift, if you're doing that, I know this is going to sound harsh, but you're stealing. You really are. So you can steal by taking something that's not yours. You can steal by failing to use something that God has given you that can be used for the glory of God. So God wants you to use your talent. Secondly, He wants you to spend your time wisely. Spend your time wisely. You have life because God has given it to you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. How many times have I said this? You know you've heard me say this. Wake up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Wow. You go to sit down at the breakfast table and look out and there's sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine today. Or you look out and there's an 85-mile-an-hour wind blowing across you. Thank you, Lord, for your breath. Or He may have sneezed. Who knows? The wind is at the command of the Lord. We have so many things to be thankful for. You need to remember that every sunrise and every sunset is a golden gift from God. It really is. So use your time wisely. God gives it to every one of us, gives all of us the same amount of time. Nobody has more time than anybody else does. You know, I've had people say to me, I wish I had as much time to do the things I need to do like you do. Well, if you did, you wouldn't have any more time than you had before you asked. Because there's just 24 hours in a day. That's it. And because all of us have that same amount of time, all of us must be good stewards of our time. And then thirdly, God wants us to give our tithe. Say, oh, come on, Pastor, you're going to preach on money now?
Yep.
Not a lot. Malachi chapter 3. Listen to this. This is the Lord speaking. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. That's kind of ominous, isn't it? Now, don't kill the messenger, folks. Please, this is God's message. He's management, I'm sales. You know, so, I mean, we all have our places. But if someone has something that belongs to them and you take it from them, that's stealing. And if you have something that rightfully belongs to somebody else and you keep it, that's stealing. And I know there are people who will say things like, wait a minute, tithing is Old Testament. Tithing is Old Testament. So are the Ten Commandments. Are you saying because we're New Testament, we shouldn't keep the Ten Commandments? I don't think you're saying that, are you? Shake your heads. No, it doesn't mean that. Okay. Tithing started before the law. Abraham is the one who commenced it. Then Moses commanded it. Then Jacob continued to do it. And Jesus commended. Who are we to cancel it? I'm not going to be the one that says, nah, we don't have to do that anymore because I don't want to. Somebody else says, well, we're under grace. We're not under law anymore. Well, whoever said because we're under grace, we should do less than what we would do under the law. Under the law, we were required to do it. Under grace, we're privileged to do it. Malachi 3:10. Remember verse 9 was so ominous? You bunch of cheats, you bunch of crooks. That's Engel paraphrase there, but that's exactly what he was saying. Listen to verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. Boy, if ever there was a place for an amen, that would have been it right there. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we shovel it out and God shovels it in. And folks, God's got a much bigger shovel than we got. And he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing will men, people, give back to you because you have given to God. Now, folks, we don't give to get, but when we give, we get. How great is that? That's so wonderful because you can't outgive God. You just can't. Listen to what Paul said. You must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you've trusted God with your soul, you should be able to trust him with your finances. He doesn't need your money. What he wants is your heart. Tithing's not his way of raising money. It's his way of raising Christians, of growing kids up. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wow, that's wonderful news. So don't rob God. Because when you do, you're stealing from yourself the blessings that God has for you. So number one, respect what God has given to others. Number two, release what God wants you to give to him. And here's number three, rely on what God has given to you. Rely on what God has given to you. Most of us can quote Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful passage of scripture. And if you were just to believe that one scripture, just that one, why would you ever be tempted to steal? If you believe that scripture, God had already reminded the children of Israel that he provided everything that they needed. For 19 chapters, if you read the book of Exodus, I know it's long. It's like 33 chapters. It's a long book. Try that. Try Psalm 119. That's got 176 verses in it. Anyway, 19 chapters in the book of Exodus, God proved to the nation of Israel. He said, when you're thirsty, I'll give you water. When you're hungry, I'll give you manna. When you're in the dark, I'll give you a pillar of fire. When you're in danger, I parted the Red Sea. I have proven that I will provide everything that you need. Now, what he's really saying is, I don't want you stealing because I'm your provider. I'm the one that takes care of you. I want you to live every day trusting that I supply your needs. I will. You don't need to scheme. You don't need to lie. You don't need to steal to get what you need. God said, I'm responsible for you, and I'll take care of you. In fact, isn't that what Jesus said? Why do you worry about anything? What you eat or what you drink or what you wear? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll take care of all of that stuff for you. I read about a man who professed to be a Christian. So a pastor came up to him and said, have you been baptized? And the guy says, no, I haven't been baptized. The thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized, so I don't need to be baptized. He said, are you a church member? No. I'm not a church member. The dying thief wasn't a church member, so why should I be a church member? Well, do you give money to support the gospel ministry? Oh, no, he said, the dying thief didn't give any money at all. He just believed, and so that's the way I'm going to take it. And the pastor looked at him and he said, well, that's true. There's one difference between you and that thief. He was a dying thief. You're a living thief. And too many people today are in that category. Stealing is a sin against God. Because every theft is a failure to trust what God provides. He said, I'll provide it all for you. It's also a failure to respect what God's provided for other people. Now I want to mention another kind of stealing. Today we call it identity theft. Most of us are aware of what identity theft is. You remember back in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had just started his public ministry in Matthew 3, and he had just come to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John, of course, why should I baptize? You ought to be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, it's the right thing to do. That's what you need to do. So he started his public ministry by being baptized. And the next thing it says is then, all right, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. Remember that? Verse 3 says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And in verse 6 it says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, the angels have charge over you and they'll take care of you. Verse 9, he said to him, all things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. We say, Pastor, what does temptation to Jesus have to do with identity theft? Did you just hear what Satan was trying to do to Jesus? He was trying to get him to doubt who he was. Remember, when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and what do we hear? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If Satan had did that to Jesus, that is, try to get him to doubt what God had said to him at his baptism, imagine how he works on us. Imagine what he says to us. How many times are we enticed to forget who we are in Jesus Christ? Satan will say, if you're really a Christian, if you're really who you say you are, you wouldn't do those kinds of things that you do. If you really were a Christian, you would be healthy and you would be happy and you would be prosperous. Do we hear that a lot today or what? Boy, you know we do. But folks, that's not the gospel. It's just not. Don't allow Satan to steal your identity. Because remember, when we trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we then are God's children. We are his witnesses. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are the beloved of God. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We have been adopted. We have been given the Holy Spirit of God. We are complete. We are eternally kept. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. And we can do all things through Christ. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we cannot be lost. And we cannot be condemned. And we cannot have anything steal our joy. We will never be separated from God. Wow. Don't let Satan steal your joy and your confidence. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Remember when Jesus died on a cross, he died between two thieves, one on either side, so that every thief who would trust in him could be saved by the God who provides everything that we need. That's called repentance. And that means it makes you right with God. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Jesus clarified it. He said, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Bearing fruit. That fruit is called restitution. Restitution. That's making things right. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15 says, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. What's God saying? If you steal something, you're to repay it. You're to give it back. We're to practice restitution to those we have wronged. Whether it's an employer, or it's a neighbor, or it's even God himself. We're to make it right, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. Remember now, let me sum this up real quickly for you. The commandment gives us three great lessons. We're to respect what God has given to others. We are to release what God wants us to give to Him. And we're to rely on what God has given to us. And as we prepare this morning for communion, we need to take time to talk to the Lord. I mean individually talk to the Lord. Make sure there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. That's what this time of reflection is. It's a time for you to be alone with your God, who has promised to supply everything you need. So as we have this time of reflection, we're going to listen to How Deep the Father's Love, and then we'll share our communion together.